And Matt Kyle, come tell us what Jesus has done for you.
I'm glad y'all could get a glimpse of the profound influence I had in Sophie's life. Sometimes our plans don't go the way we expect them to, but God is good. God used our move from Portland in so many good ways. We can only thank Him. It's been great. For all you young ones that think Portland is a pretty great place, you should reconsider. I had not planned to be in Sophie's baptism class just a few Sundays ago, but for some unusual reason, as I was waiting for Michelle, frantically trying to prepare my breakfast, that I found myself dressed and ready to go. She thought I should take out frantically. So I graciously volunteered to take Sophie in her place. It was kind of odd that I was sitting there perfectly ready to go at 7:30 in the morning. So we went. And it's a wonderful class. There's even an official baptism class drink. Orange juice and 7-Up. If you want to know the proper way to prepare it, you will have to go to the class yourself. Anyways, it was wonderful. It was wonderful listening to the others' testimony, as you now know. I was only in the class to support Sophie, and I confess I was not sure I was there because it was a requirement or she just needed a ride. Anyway, at one point, Smet asked if I would give my testimony as well when it came around to my turn, so I did. When I finished, he said, "Would you like to get baptized?" I know it caught Sophie off guard, yeah, but to be honest, I immediately felt a very strong conviction about it. I could feel the Holy Spirit's conviction, and I could feel the emotion well up, and I knew he was right. I was baptized when I was 12, but I was not ready, and I did not want to be baptized. Although it was long ago, I can remember being angry about it, almost like something was taken away. My younger brother was baptized at the time, so I think they came to me and thought maybe I should get baptized too. When I was about 10, a coworker of my dad shared the gospel with him, and my dad really believed right there. The change was instantaneous. He quit drinking, smoking, swearing almost overnight. He changed not because someone said he must, but solely because God changed his heart and his affections. My mom was pretty freaked out by the whole thing, but she saw the change was real, and God saved her a few months after that. I know the man that shared the gospel to my dad and the good news, and he shared the true good news that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to earth and lived a perfect life and was a perfect man, that he suffered a horrible death on the cross and was marred more than any man at the hands of sinners, and rose 3 days later so that anyone who puts their faith in him would receive forgiveness of all their sins and have true and lasting peace with God. We attended church every Sunday for as long as I can remember, but it was a weak church, only I didn't know it. They got the gospel right and many other things wrong. They didn't believe in the power of God's word, nor did they believe all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I grew up in a church that did not value God's word and that had an improper understanding of baptism's place and really despised God's sovereignty. I really hated church. And high school and college were difficult for me because my lifestyle condemned me. If good works and not doing certain things were what was required, I knew I was not going to make it. I lived in spiritual confusion, thinking I was a Christian, but knowing my deeds did not measure up. I cannot stress how confused spiritually I was, and I was truly miserable. In my early 20s, for a variety of reasons, I hit a low point. So when I was about 22, in exasperation and almost disgust, I decided to read the Bible for myself. This was it. I told myself either the Bible is garbage or it's the truth. There can really be no in between. And to be honest, I never really took the time to read it on my own. As a side note, for those that don't know Jesus or anyone who's struggling with doubt and unbelief, I would implore you to read your Bible and lay your concerns before God with an open and honest heart. I have no doubt he will hear and answer your prayers. Anyway, I can't remember where I started reading, but I know where I ended. I got to Romans. I was reading every night a lot. I got to Romans, and then I read Romans 1 through 8. I didn't know it at the time, but it seemed like a good stopping point. And then I'd read it over, and then I read Romans 5 through 8. Over and over, I read it for weeks. And one night, as I finished Romans 8, I prayed with tears to God and thanked him for saving me and answering my prayer. It says this, "What shall we say to these things?" All the previous section before. I didn't want to read the whole chapter. "What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God and also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. For we were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Right about this time, I started frequenting a Christian bookstore, and they had a little section called Old Paths. Let me tell you, the old paths are the best paths. It was just a little tiny section. There was probably 20 books on there, but I was drawn to this little section that had books I had never heard of. I read Sproul and Pink and Gerstner and others whom I had no idea who they were at the time. But through them and reading the Bible, I came to love and understand God's word. There was no fear of his word any longer. It was an awesome thing for me. It was not up to me to will and to work, but God had already provided everything. I brought nothing and I knew it. I felt as if God answered my prayer in the most amazing way. God in his mercy saved me that night, and I have not been baptized since. My confusion was always about the relationship with faith and works. I thought I had to come to God with my own righteousness. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 lays it out so simply. "For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works that no one may boast." We can boast in Christ and nothing else. I shamefully and readily admit, however, that I still did not have a clear understanding of the relationship between faith and works until I started attending church here. The very next verse says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I almost feel like that was inserted late. Now it seems that every page of Scripture talks about doing good works for the Lord. So weird. Many of you are probably thinking, man, this guy's a slow learner. That's a true statement. It has seemingly taken 25 years for me to learn these simple but profound truths. As Scott said many times, we come to the door of salvation with nothing and can claim no good work. We come only with simple faith in Jesus and what he accomplished for us. But once we cross the threshold, it's different, and we're called to live a life for Christ. I've been a lazy and slovenly participant in my sanctification, not understanding that through Jesus I have all I need to have victory over sin, so I may somehow glorify him with my words and actions. I want to do good and please God more than ever by obeying his commands. There is no legalism in following Jesus. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I used to find Philippians 2, 12, and 13a very unpleasant verse. It says this, "So then, my beloved, just as you have also obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I love that verse, and I understand it. God is so good. I've known his kindness, his patience, his lack of severity, and I have so much to be thankful for because of Jesus. And this is why I am now here to be baptized.
Matt, on your profession of faith, it is my pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.